Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
We're here live. It's 7 p.m. on the East Coast, and 7 p.m. down there in Florida. Everybody be careful down there, and it looks like it upgraded. What it is? Is it Category 3 now? Good old John Anderson. He's a Florida native, born and raised down there, and let's see what we got. Actually, I haven't heard anything since this afternoon.
So blow,
yeah, nothing else is going on. Let's see, I got a picture here of the affected area. You know, it's really awesome how Google Maps does it, too. So it looks like it's going to keep heading a little more southern than Tampa. And, like Thursday, 2 a.m., it's coming inland. I mean, you're going to start getting stuff probably tomorrow morning. I mean, like, so, whoops, don't want to do that. So, like, it's probably already starting to affect everybody down there. But, like, at Wednesday at 2 a.m. and then Wednesday at 2 p.m., it's right off the coast. And it's more toward Sarasota and Fort Myers. That's going to be a big affected area. You know, the way the hurricane swoops, you know, anything south and east of the hurricane is going to probably get affected the most. The whole state of Florida is going to get rained on. So anything you see potential like that, it's kind of, you know, I mean, Naples, all that area is going to get hammered pretty hard, and that's going to be to the south and the east of the hurricane. So it's looks like it's going to make landfall right at the Inglewood area right there, just south of Sarasota. What's that? Is that a? I'm trying to see it. But like it's in Fort Myers Harbor there, that area, that's where it's going to be. It's going to be south. Well, it's well south of Tampa. Tampa probably won't see the brunt of it. You'll see a lot of rain, and you'll see a lot of back wind coming off the land. So that's what will happen. And like I said, everybody's going to get affected. It's going to roll on. It might even, according to the tracker, like it goes back out over the water Friday morning. And, of course, Jacksonville will get hammered pretty good like that, because it'll be over the water during Friday. And Friday afternoon, it'll be up around Brunswick, Georgia, and come back over the land in Savannah, Georgia. So you're talking about, let's see, do they have another time stamp? So Saturday afternoon. They don't have a Saturday morning, but they got a Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon, it'll be well over Augusta and Columbia, South Carolina, up going up into the hills. So I don't know how the mountains affect it like that, because, I mean, once you get past Columbia and Augusta, you're in hill country. And then once you get over there toward Interstate 85, that's the foothills of the mountains right there. And it should just die down right there. I mean, it shouldn't. You might have some tornadoes. There's definitely a lot of wind and rain. So South Carolina batting down the hatches. Georgia batting down the hatches. Especially Florida batting down the hatches. It's coming. So everybody stay safe out there, especially on the highway. If you're in Florida and you're a truck driver, man, and you ain't got nothing to do. And, of course, a lot of guys we know, if people don't know about the trucking industry, FEMA is connected to the industry really, really hard. So what will happen is they'll commandeer a lot of the stadium parking lots or any kind of big, huge parking lots off the beaten path. So like Tallahassee and Pensacola and Mobile, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia, they're all going to have their stadiums and their high schools and all of their stuff. They're going to probably close their businesses, and then trucks will be parked in those parking lots, and then there'll be facilities, like they'll be bringing in water. They'll be bringing in lumber. They'll be bringing in stuff. And what they'll do is they'll have staging areas in these big cities with the parking lots. And then once things clear out and once things, you know, it's kind of like the FEMA, they get on the phone, they get on the radios, and they said, okay, send some water our way, send some supplies our way, send some fresh clothes, whatever. And whatever they got in the trucks, whatever truck's available, you know, it's not necessarily the people that brought it are going to be delivering it. They got trucks on standby. So drivers are getting paid to sit and wait for FEMA. They're like under FEMA control, and they just sit there and wait. There's truck stops. Probably they'll bus them over the truck stops, make sure they get food and shelter. They bring out MREs. They pass out the meals in the bags to make sure drivers are fed and everything. And then the drivers just sit and wait. And sometimes you may not even get used. The driver just sits there. And then when they're done, they're like, okay, we're done. We didn't need you. But just, you know, you're like under contract and you get paid. And I don't know. And really all it boils down to is that it's the carrier. So whoever DOT number it is, that's who's getting paid. If you're a driver and you work for like Landstar or Swift or somebody like that, what they pay you, and I'll tell you right now, y'all need to be demanding a lot of money, okay? Demand money, because it used to be between $1,200 to $1,500 a day that they were paying for these trucks to sit and wait. And I remember company drivers were only getting like, you know, $200. And like, so if I was taking the day off, if I was getting paid time off, or if I was doing it, you're looking at almost $400 a day that I would, like my regular job, I make about $300 a day. So I better be getting paid $300 to $400 a day. You know, and so that's my regular pay. Just make sure I get paid a regular day's pay. So if you're a regular driver, just do your math. You know, how many miles do you run a week? How many days a week do you work? All that kind of stuff. And just know, you know, hey, this is how much I should get paid. Owner-operators, man, owner-operators, it's your truck. You know, I remember the deal was like Landstar. I think somebody heard that they were getting $1,500 a day, and they were only paying their drivers $750. They were paying their drivers half. You know, and then come to find out they were only getting paid like, and then they were, that was a percentage. So that like like we'll pay you $750. You'll get, you know, 65-70% of the $750. And so that's what, $500. It's not even the full $750. So that kind of thing, you need to make sure that you got everything squared away on that, especially if you're an owner operator. If you're an owner operator, at least a Swift, those people, they don't pay as much. So you got to watch out, you know, just be careful. You know, I mean, know what's happening. I guarantee you that because of inflation and the cost of fuel and all that, I bet you that those trucks, if they're sitting and waiting on FEMA, they're getting at least $2,000 a day, you know. So if you're the one responsible for maintaining the truck and paying for the fuel, you make sure you're getting paid. That's all I got to tell you. Make sure you get paid. And everybody stay on top of that and pass the information along. You know, if you're a driver out there and you're not down there doing that or participating in that, you know, make sure if you got any friends and they tell you that's what they're doing, tell them you need to scream and holler, because it's one of those things where I don't even know how the owner-operator system does it. A lot of company trucks, they'll just tell you, we're sending you down there. We're sending, or you want to go down there, we'll go down there. And then they'll tell you, this is what you're getting paid. And you might say, hey, that's pretty good. You know, just sit around. No, you need to get paid the full day's pay. Don't sit there and just say you're only going to make 80% of what you normally make because you're not really working, you know, but because I'll tell you, yeah, they're going to make sure that you get food that you need. You know, you might be able to go get a shower in the area. They might have little vans to bus you over to the showers and all that. But you might not have self-service. You more than likely won't have internet, because if you're in closer to the areas that get affected, all those lines will be down, you know, and there's going to be storms and all that stuff like that. So don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. And if you do work, you know, I don't even know how that – I actually – all the people that I've ever known that have participated in that, they never worked. They went down there and they were told to wait, and they were told, you know, we'll come get you if we need you. And they never got called upon. So I don't know if you're making like twice as much money if you were working than if you weren't. But so that's the trucking industry getting ready for, you know, disaster relief and all that. Just make sure you keep your, you know, just know what's going on and trust the people that tell you the experiences they have. A lot of people that have participated in that, they'll say, I'll never do that again. You know, that's but the other thing that they'll do, especially for the United States, the entire United States gets affected by this. If you are in an area, like say you're in Chicago or you're in West Texas or you're in Northeast or you're out maybe even in Denver, Colorado or somewhere like that, and they'll tell you, hey, we got a load going to Georgia, you know, or going to South Carolina or going to Alabama or, you know, Pensacola, Florida. And it's disaster relief. You're taking supplies. You're taking water. You might be taking, you know, food. You might be taking lumber, sheetrock, whatever. You might be told, you know, hey, this is for disaster relief. Here's your letter. They're going to give you a letter that says you don't have to obey any kind of weight restrictions or any kind of hours of service. That's null and void if you're hauling any kind of disaster relief toward the area. So if you're, and they give you a letter. So if you get stopped for driving, you know, 12 hours, or if you're overweight, you just give them the letter and they say, okay, go ahead, you know, and all that. And I'll tell you right now, I don't like it. If any driver out there saying that they can, you know, hey, I love driving 15 hours a day. Here's my chance to drive 15 hours a day. I would resist it as much as I could, you know. I would, because I mean, it's one of those things where it's your risk of safety. You know, maybe you don't normally drive 15 hours a day and they're telling you can drive 15 hours a day today because it's disaster relief. You know, the hours of service doesn't apply to you anymore. You can drive. If you normally don't drive 15 hours a day and you can't, and you're getting tired, don't push yourself. Okay. Don't. Okay, they put these laws in effect for your safety. That's what they always say. These laws are for your safety. The laws for weight limits and for hours of service limits, these are for your safety and the public safety. And then when something happens and they need stuff done, you know, they always say, well, those laws don't apply today. We're gonna lift all those restrictions. Well, then if they can be lifted on one day, they can be lifted every day. Okay, so don't sit there and tell me that this is important because it's an emergency. Okay? The economy is an emergency, always. Okay? Anytime, you know, I mean, they always tell us all the time, remember how they always say, if you get pulled over, or, I mean, if you get a load, and if you don't get there on time, the plant's going to shut down. Okay, that's an emergency. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, not it may not be life and death, but it's definitely somebody's wages. If they can't work and they can't clock in because they don't have no work to do, they're losing time. So you're costing them money, which means they can't feed their family or pay their bills. You know, I mean, one politician said that about, you know, crisis and unemployment and all that stuff like that. And it's like if anybody loses a job, that's a crisis. That it may not be a crisis to you, but it's a crisis to that person that lost that job. So if anytime you can't work, it's a crisis. Anytime you lose money because you can't work, that's a crisis. So don't sit here and point a finger at me just because you say, well, this is a devastating hurricane and we need to lift all these restrictions. No, I'm not lifting any restrictions. I'm gonna handle my freight safely, and I'm gonna get it there when I say it can get it there. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to, is you are the captain of the ship. Okay, don't let anybody tell you can run harder or faster or longer or heavier or whatever. You are the captain of the ship. So don't let nobody deter that from you. And that's all I got to say about that. Like I said, you are the captain. So yeah, a couple of things happened in the news. There's this one article. I don't know, I might have to dive into that. Depends on who calls or whatever. But you can call in 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Appreciate everybody joining us. You can also follow us on YouTube. We're on YouTube Live right now. Appreciate everybody doing that. And let's get things going. So one of the great sponsors I like to thank, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Let me see if I can get them pulled up here so you can see. There they are. dpfregeneration.com. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010. And that is where if you need like a particulate filter, new filter, or any kind of parts, even if you just want it cleaned, you take your filter out. It's not that hard. You overnight it to DPF Regeneration. They'll clean it in their clean lab. You know, if you ever go to these trucks, the shops that say, we'll clean it. We have a machine that cleans the DPF filter. If you go over there and look at the machine, it's not very well taken care of because it's sitting in the corner of the shop somewhere and neglected. Nobody, you know, sometimes it's busy. It might take a couple of days because there's so many filters that need to be cleaned. A lot of people just pay to get a new one just because they ain't got time to wait on it getting cleaned. This place here, I mean, if you do it, you can do it yourself. You can take the filter out and send it off to DPF Regeneration and they'll overnight it back to you. And it's in a clean lab. So you see all the pictures and videos that they've got about that stuff. Like I said, go check them out, dpfregeneration.com. They even got the diesel engine parts and filters, any kind of special thing you need. Go check them out, like I said, dpfregeneration.com, or give them a call at 800-634-3010. Appreciate all their support of Redneck and I's. So, oh, that's not it. There it is. Boom. So yeah, let's keep it rocking and rolling. And there you go. So we appreciate everybody doing that for us. And like I said, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Go follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Appreciate you out there. We'll talk about it more. Y'all stay safe, and we'll be back in a second. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and I's. Redneck and I's, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
do what they say can be done. But we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. I'm coming back. Just a reminder, Hurricane Ian is off the Florida coast down there. And we're going to expect landfall sometime, I think, what is it, tomorrow afternoon? Yeah, tomorrow afternoon you're going to start seeing the brunt of it. It's probably already starting to rain and heavy winds and everything down there. But tomorrow morning, you're probably going to get worse, and then it's going to make landfall right around Sarasota, Fort Myers, Naples. That area is going to get hammered pretty good. So if you're down there, get out now. And if you're in the area or traveling through the area, just know that it's going to get affected. Interstate 10 is going to get hammered pretty good, too. It's going to swing back over Friday afternoon or Friday morning, all day Friday. It's going to swing back over the water outside of Jacksonville. And probably bring a lot of flooding to the coastal area there on Interstate 95. So if you're heading to that area, like maybe the coast of Georgia, what is it called? Savannah, Georgia, Brunswick, Georgia. I know there's a big area, a big port down there in Brunswick too. So be careful down there and check that out, because if you're heading toward Interstate 95 in the Georgia, South Carolina, and North Florida area, it's still coming that way. It's going to hit hard. It's swinging back over the water Friday, during all day Friday, and then coming back late Friday afternoon over Savannah. And then by Saturday morning, it'll be like over the coastal area of, you know, Macon, Georgia, Augusta, Georgia. It's even got like the shaded areas, even got Atlanta being affected. So yeah, just everybody watch out for that. And of course, we all know in truck driving, you're going to probably haul a lot of stuff down there, and they'll probably give you a piece of paper saying hours of service, no big deal. Do whatever you need to do. Overweight, no problem. And we'll just tell you, you're the captain of the ship. You take care of it. Don't let them intimidate you into doing something unsafe. And I basically wouldn't break the rules at all, because if the rules were put in for my safety, that means they shouldn't never be broken. So, you know, it's like you said, we always say, how can the rules be broken or be always followed every day except that the day you say is okay? If they can be set aside one day, then they can be set aside every day. So, you know, I'm like you say, you're the truck driver, you're the captain of the ship, you're in charge. So don't let them tell you how to run your business or how to run your ship, how to run your truck. You know, you think it's too heavy, you think it's too far to drive at once, whatever, you know, take your breaks, do what you need to do. You know, like it's always you. Okay. If something bad happened, let's say that you're picking up a load and they say, you know, haul ass, get down there, let's go. And you might be, overweight, or you might get tired. If something happens, it's your fault. They're not going to tell you that, oh, it's okay, this accident's not your fault because we were telling you to run hard. That's not going to happen. Okay. They're not going to lift your responsibility because you were hauling a load for FEMA or, you know, into a disaster area. They're not going to do that. So don't put yourself at risk like that. And it might not even be life threatening, but it is career threatening. So be careful. So yeah. So I got two phone calls now. Both of them are from 330. So I don't know who's who. So if anybody wants to chime in, you better. I don't know if one. Something tells me that one called in, the other called in, and they're really not sure if who else is calling in. So, but the hurricane is really the only big thing going on. There's this other article, and it's from the Guardian. I always thought the Guardian was kind of a weird, like, what is it? And then it probably won't even let me get in there all the way. It says 70-hour weeks, taking selfies for ICE. Life as a migrant trucker in California. Like many of the state's long-haul truckers, this guy here, they got his name, I can't say it. It's Gupreet Singh, is awaiting asylum hearing amid a life extreme uncertainty. But he's a truck driver. And it says, apart from the loneliness, when I first began trucking, the scariest thing was driving on icy roads in winter. So that's I want to make sure the Guardian understands that when he talks about driving on icy roads, it's not ice like immigration and customs enforcement. It's not. That's two different things. It says, after spending a night in late September driving an 18-wheeler across the country, this guy woke up to see his phone lit up with notifications from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Immediately, he called back to acknowledge the contact attempts. Then he snapped a selfie to upload into the mobile app immigration officials used to track his whereabouts. It says earlier that morning, worn out from his nonstop 11-hour trip that started in Bakersfield, California, he said that he's awaiting asylum, had gotten time zones confused. When the notifications he expected didn't arrive, he simply submitted an unprompted selfie and fell into a deep sleep. As his co-driver continued the journey from St. Louis to Chicago, the first notification arrived, followed by a flood of others, including missed calls from a cousin whom ICE had contacted while searching for him. It says, already stressed about delivering his load on time, it says, now grappled with the fear that this mistake could hurt his immigration case. I don't buy it, okay? I just don't see the government, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right to me. It says 4 years ago, he left India, flew to Mexico, crossed the U.S. border, where he was immediately apprehended, detained for 5 months, and released on bond to await an asylum hearing. After 6 months, he applied for temporary work permit, and he soon began working as a truck driver, hauling fruits and vegetables and meat back and forth between his home in Bakersfield, California, and various East Coast destinations. Okay, so did he already have a CDL? And they gave him a CDL? Or, I mean, what's the deal? Like, how did he do that? I mean, he could have already had knowledge of driving a truck, and all he had to do was take a test. In California, it's really strict on getting a CDL. So he had to have – this says here, what did it say? After 6 months, he applied for a temporary work permit and soon began working as a truck driver. Okay, that's just not – you can't just do that. I don't understand. 2 years ago, however, an immigration judge denied his asylum case and issued a deportation order. He filed an appeal and was granted another hearing scheduled for next year. It says, in the meantime, ICE continues to surveil through the various means, from automated phone calls and an in-person appointments that sometimes clash with his load delivery schedule. Recently, he told them, immigration officials installed a Buy SmartLink app on his phone. He explained that during the two-hour window on a preset morning each month, the app prompts him to upload a selfie. And then it says, navigating the labyrinth of the U.S. immigration and asylum process means adapting his life and work to deal with the constant and crushing uncertainty. Well, if he's a truck driver, he already knows about jumping through hoops. Because truck drivers, that's all we do is jump through hoops. So, and I mean, all they're doing is just a little thing like, oh, we feel so bad for this guy, blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't really explain the, it says, truck driving has become a popular line of work among the migrants at the time the industry faces driver shortage. Says, who leads the North American Trucking Association, estimates that about a third of the truck drivers in California are from, I guess, India. Because among those drivers, he believes as many as 40% are undocumented and going through immigration proceedings. But again, to me, who's helping them get through the trucking school? And it doesn't have anything to do with how he got a CDL. That's my question. How do you get a CDL? California's strict about a CDL. It is hard to get a CDL. You got to go through school. So to me, he was in school those 6 months before he applied for a work permit. He was in truck driving school. That's all I got to say. Looks like I think this is probably Greg chiming in. Of course, I'm talking about something that he probably get fired up about. What's going on?
I ain't getting fired up about it. I can respect anything out of California.
Exactly right. So first off, like you said, he had to have had a CDL before, or California, it's hard to get a CDL in California.
I don't know. I don't know how hard it is. I mean, you can do anything else in California anymore. I don't know how hard it is to do anything over there. They write their own rules.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that California has become like Mexico. We don't go over there, but they come over here.
Right.
Yeah. It's like anything going anything that delivers out of or into California, people from California have to do it because ain't nobody else going to go out there.
I think there's a bigger threat from the people out of California coming east than there is the ones down south coming north.
There's billboards all over Austin and San Antonio saying, don't California my Texas.
That's right.
But the other all thing, right. too, so the whole immigration debate, I hear all this talk about asylum. I thought that asylum meant that you were like a political enemy, like you were a political prisoner. And you ran from the government that was going to kill you or arrest
right.
you. A lot of these people, when they come across the border, they I just want to work. Well, that's not asylum. You can't,
right.
that's not, you know, you can't just say, oh, I'm because remember, I don't know if you saw that movie with Tom Hanks where he played a guy that was from another country and he got locked in the airport for a long time.
Yeah.
They tried to tell him. No, but well, the funny part in the story was that they tried to tell him. All you have to say is that you claim asylum. And he's like, from what? And he goes, well, if you're afraid to go back to your country, we'll grant you asylum. And he's like, why would I be afraid? He goes, well, because you're here and you can't go free. We could set you free right now if you claim asylum. Well, okay, so what do I need to do? Just claim that you're afraid of your country. I'm not afraid of my country. Well, then, you know, he's like, I'm not afraid of my country. You know, I just want to be in the United States, and so they couldn't give him asylum. So these people now, they just
right.
come, they just claim asylum, and they're going to give you a hearing, and the hearing's for next year. But, you know, his asylum got denied. It was denied because he's not in fear of getting arrested or killed. He's just wanting to work. So, yeah, asylum ain't like that.
Hey, we need to claim asylum against our government. I ain't afraid of our country. I'm afraid of our government.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. You know, when you, like, you get, you know, I was just thinking about that, how they're calling all of the Republicans fascist. And I thought
yeah.
that was kind of ironic because the definition of fascism is when one political ideology, it controls the schools, controls the bureaucracy, and controls the media. Now, what political ideology controls all that?
The Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
Yep. And then the other thing was is that did you follow this story in Italy where the lady got elected prime minister and she was like she's a hardcore conservative. They're calling her far right.
Yeah.
And they're saying
yeah.
that her political party is like used to be the political party of Mussolini, or you know the descendants of these people are the old supporters of Mussolini and all that. And it's so funny to me that it's like, okay, well, that was what, decades ago? You're talking like 50, 60 years ago that this political party was bad. I was like, I remember another
right.
political party in another country that was really bad. About 60 years ago, there was a political party that was really racist and into segregation. But now they claim they're not.
Yeah.
So which is it? Are you saying that political parties can change? Or they can't change.
But that party, that party now is trying to put it on the other one and trying to make it sound like they was.
Yeah.
Yeah, people need to go back and do their history, read their history. They'll find out who the Democratic, who all the racists was.
Exactly right.
You know, all that crap was done by the Democrats.
Exactly
you
right.
The KKK,
yep.
the white supremacists, all that was all Democrats.
That's what I'm so
afraid.
The funny thing to me is that they were saying like with that with the lady in Italy, you know they were the supporters of that political party used to be supporters of Mussolini. I said, yeah, and the supporters of the Democrat
yeah.
Party, the same party of that guy you keep talking bad about. What's it called? Jim Crow. He was a Democrat. George Wallace. He was a Democrat. So which is it?
I may go back about 30 some years. You probably find old Uncle Joe up there rubbing shoulders with him, too.
I bet you, yeah. Well, you remember Byrd. Remember the senator that passed away?
Yeah,
Robert
Byrd.
Grand Dragon. Yeah, he was once a Grand
yep.
Dragon. I mean, Biden was at his funeral. So
yeah, and he was down in West Virginia for years, man. He was
exactly
down there. Senator, yep. Rather, not governor.
Yep.
Senator.
I mean, you know, so yeah, don't get me talking about that stuff. I tell you what, that, you know, the history thing is that's one of the things that they stressed in that book 1984 that a lot of people talk about, you know, the scholars and all that. And it's about it, that whoever controls the present controls the past, or I forget what the saying was, but it was like whoever controls the past controls the present, and who controls the present controls the future, something like that. But it was like, if you can change the history of what people think or what people know, then they will start following your history. That's
right.
So like they did a deal where they talked to some people at a university. The guy at Prager University, he goes to the campuses, like the college campuses, and he asked college students, what political party was Abraham Lincoln? And they all said Democrat. He said, oh, Abraham Lincoln was a Democrat. No, he wasn't. He wasn't? He goes, no, he was a Republican. They're like, no. I mean, they don't believe it.
Right.
You know, these are college students.
Yeah. These kids are dumber than a box of rocks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're taking all the good stuff out of – I remember when I was in high school, I wanted to take, you know, like agriculture. And what they said was is that the only way you could take any kind of like shop class or agriculture class is you had to be a troublemaker. You had to be in trouble. So like,
yeah,
all the kids that got detention or all the kids that got arrested and had a criminal record, they were the ones allowed to take shop and allowed to take, you know, agriculture or the horticulture and all that stuff. But if you were a regular student just wanting to know a skill like auto shop or that, you couldn't do it. They wouldn't let you.
Right.
So, and now those classes are completely out of schools now. You can't, if you're in high school and you want to take auto shop or anything like that, you can't. You know, they just took them all out.
Oh, you gotta go to a trade school.
Yep, exactly. Yep. One of the coolest movies I used to watch as a kid was what was his name? Belushi. It was the brother. He was a principal of a troubled high school in a bad neighborhood, and he had a motorcycle, and they destroyed it. Like the gang members, you know, broke it and tore up his motorcycle. Well, the kids, the good kids in the auto shop and the body shop, they fixed his motorcycle like brand new. And he was like, all right, that's good. You know, I mean, that was like awesome, because these high school kids in shop class, they completely restored his motorcycle, you know, that he really liked, and that the gang members tore it up. So it's like, you can't do that no more. Ain't no shop class in high school.
Yeah.
Kids nowadays were wondering that. So yeah, I did a little digging on that deal we talked about yesterday with the 18-year-old getting, and the trucking school didn't even try to find the driver. They let him pay the money and go to truck driving school, and at the local college here. And I said, well, wouldn't they try to find you a job? And he's like, yeah, I thought they were going to, but they didn't. He said, but the other guys, the older guys, they got jobs. They got job placements. But they
That's
wouldn't.
Right. They took his money, though, didn't they?
Exactly right. Or any kind of government grant they got, whatever. However they got paid,
yep,
they got paid. You know, whether it be a scholarship or government funding or he wrote them a check, they got their money. And now he can't get a job.
They fulfilled their end of the bargain.
That's it.
They got him what he wanted. He wanted his CDL. They got him his CDL. They didn't guarantee him he could do anything with it, but they got it for him.
Yep. Or they promised to do something, and then they backed off, or they, you know, they reneged on
right.
it, and what are you gonna do? You know, checks are to cash. So yeah, you're right. It's all about those things like that. I mean, we see that all the time. The like you said, the truck driving schools, they get some kind of government reimbursement. They even take guys like I remember when I went to truck driving school. I mean, I don't know how long. I don't think you ever did. You ever go to truck driving school at all? No, you just went straight into it. Yeah. So
yeah.
I got out of the military in 1997 and went to truck driving school. I bet you 60% of the people in that class were straight out of prison. So it was a work program where, you know, you get out of prison and then you need a job now, so you go to truck driving school, and the government paid for their truck driving school because they were coming out of prison. And I remember they were going to work for like PAM and some other off-the-wall companies, because like Swift and Schneider, they're not going to hire them. You know, Right. Got felony records. They're not going to get hired by Swift or whatever. I remember we were talking about how much you're getting paid, and they were like, yeah, they're going to start me off at 12 cents a mile. I said, 12? I said, I'm getting like 24. I said, I'm getting twice as much because I don't have a felony.
Right.
So, these truck driving schools, they're just, like we say all the time, they're puppy mills. So.
Yep. That's all it is. It's all about the money.
Yeah, I'm seeing pictures on the news right now of the water down in Florida. They're already getting intense waves crashing into the seawalls out there in Florida. It's getting rough out there.
Oh, yeah.
I saw some of the water here. Yeah, we're going to get some rough water, too, probably.
Yeah, my ex-sister-in-law and her husband, they live down there at Fort Myers. I just wonder how they're making out, because they're nice people, but, man, there ain't no way. Ain't no way in hell I'd live down there on that coast. Have to put up with that all the time. No.
Yep. Well, I think
everybody
it's a big deal.
About the tornadoes, man.
Yeah. I think it's
a hurricane. I mean, they give you a warning. You know when it's coming. Tornado don't, but still, I'll take my chances on the tornadoes.
Yep. Oh, here we go. Okay, everybody's on the air. What's up?
Well, that was quick.
That was quick what?
I wasn't anticipating you flipping it on that quick.
Oh, well. I don't know.
No, I was just seeing on the news, too, about all the water down there. And it's not looking pretty so far, and it hasn't even hit yet completely.
Right. It won't make – yep. I'm looking at the – you know, Google Earth. Actually, if anybody's got Google Maps on their phone, you could pull up Google Maps, and you can see it on your phone. They'll lay out the track on it and tell you – like right now, Wednesday, 2 p.m., it says it's going to hit landfall tomorrow afternoon. Is like, I guess, the
right.
Center of it will make landfall. So, yep, the way they got it working out.
How far north is it coming?
I mean, they've got it tracked all the way up, like just south of Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh.
At Saturday at 2 p.m., they expect it to be right there where the 85-26 split is.
Wow, it's coming up a ways.
Yeah, or what is that?
Oh, yeah.
No, 26 and 385, that's what it is. That little spur that goes from, that splits off of 26 and goes toward Greenville instead of Spartanburg. Right there, that little area. So that's what I was talking about earlier, is that's where the foothills of the mountain right there. So you're going to, once Saturday afternoon hits, it's going to hit the mountains. I don't know what happens after that, because I don't know. I've never seen it.
The mountains might be the only thing to protect the north from it. You know, slow it down a little bit, kind of break it up.
Yep, you might get some hard rain and maybe a few tornadoes in that area. I know tornadoes have hit that area, like Greenville and Spartanburg, Clemson. I got family near Clemson is where I got family. And I've got some relatives that live in Columbia. But that whole area out there, it can be prone to tornadoes. There's trees and rolling hills, but yeah, like you're saying, the only thing that I guess to completely stop it and shut it down would be the mountains,
right?
But it's going to be a lot of rain, so watch out for that rock slides, man. Remember they shut down 40 for a while because of the rock slides coming off the cliffs.
Yeah, over in the gorge, and it messed that up.
Yep. So heavy rain could knock that stuff out. So watch out for that too. Ain't no telling.
Tell you what, man. Look out, because here goes gas prices, fuel prices, food prices.
Yeah.
They're just waiting, looking for a reason to raise everything up again. That's going to be it.
That's it. And then you're talking about, government spending affecting inflation. And then
there we go.
Yep. And see, so now the big news today about the spending bill is that the Republicans had in the spending bill, for them to be able to vote for it, they wanted more permits for drilling oil. Well, the Democrats took it out. They took that out. They said, we're not doing that. So the Republicans are like, oh, crap, what are we going to vote on now? You know, they're not really happy about it. So, you know, one thing that could help with domestic oil production is more permits. And everybody says, well, there's like 1,000 permits now. Well, when you're – So you break it on down. There was like 10,000 permits during the Trump administration, and Biden knocked it back to like 800. And then, yeah. then when the prices decreased, or when the prices increased, he bumped it up to like, you know, 1,200. So they're not really, you know, we're giving out more leases, yeah, but not as many as there were. So don't even tell us that you're doing more, because
right.
you're not. So.
Right.
So yeah, it's a significant. So then the Republicans want more leases, and in the law for the spending, well, now the Democrats say we're not doing that. So, yep. And then I'm looking at, there's a press conference today where the head of FEMA was talking from the White House. So they're all talking about getting prepared for the.
That's crazy.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Wow.
But anyway, yep, that's all that's going on for me. I didn't do much. The weather's been nice here.
Well, here. Hey, but where's the dam up here?
Yep. Y'all going to be able to do any more riding? Y'all ain't going to do more riding for the end of the year?
Nah, we ain't done much. We might get another ride in sooner or later. I don't know.
But you sold that bulk.
We still got it.
Oh, okay.
I'm just leaving ours set in the garage so that one of these days it'll be antiques, it'll be worth more.
That's what I wish I'd have kept that Dyna. That Dyna was a 2006, so I was like, man, if I'd have held on that for another 3 or 4 years after it gets 20 years old, that sucker'd be worth money.
Yeah. Think of them guys got them old pan heads and knuckleheads.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
They're worth a fortune now. But back then's when they built Harley, so that's when it was worth something. New ones is all made. They're all foreign bikes now. Every Harley you got now, they're foreign made bikes. All they are is assembled here. All the parts are made overseas. They're assembled here.
That's one guy said. He said just because all of your hardware is in standard instead of metric doesn't mean anything, you know. It's like,
right,
because Harley, that's what Harley does. Harley doesn't use any metrics, no centimeters,
right,
no torques or anything like that. It's all either standard bolts or
Allen.
Yeah, Allen or Phillips. That's it, you know. So
yep. It's all standard thread.
Yep.
Standard sizes.
Yep. And that's how they say we're American made, because we're still standard. You know, our engines are in cubic inches, not centimeters.
Yeah, it's a joke anymore. But you got the diehards. Won't own nothing but a Harley. Oh, okay.
Well, I tell everybody that.
I've been there and done that. That's on my bucket list. Hell with it.
Yeah. I was talking about that to somebody because, you know, I just got into it. So I moved here and I was I always liked different whiskeys. So I started getting into different whiskeys and different flavors and stuff like that. And all the people that were like experts in what good whiskey is, like, what's the best? And they're all like, the best whiskey is whichever whiskey you like. If you like it, then that's the best.
Yeah.
It's like that. And then I go to the cigar shop, and the same guy, he's Cuban. The guy that owns the cigar store is Cuban. I said, what's the best cigar? He goes, whatever cigar you like, that's your best. He says, don't let nobody tell you that there's the best. It's whatever you like. So then I bought a motorcycle, and I'm like, you know, I don't ride a Harley yet. And he goes, why don't you have a Harley? I wouldn't own anything but a Harley. And I was like, so what's the best Harley? And he's like, and they're like, no, it's this bike right here. You can't own, if you don't own this bike, you ain't nothing. You know, and it's, everybody's got to have a Street Glide because it's got the fairings and the saddlebags and all that, you know, and everything. And I said, what about the Road King? I said, no, the best bike is this bike right here. And it's like, if you don't have that bike, and I was like, well, I thought maybe the best bike is my favorite bike. And they're like, no. You know, so it was kind of like that deal where it was like their opinion was that you couldn't have anything but, it not only just Harley, it was like, you know, it had to be a Street Glide or Ultra Glide. You know, I was like, and I like the breakouts. Oh, bull crap. I was like, what?
I'm kind of convinced that a Harley or a motorcycle is like a boat. Or after last weekend, a motorhome. It's, whatever anybody else wants, they can have it. I don't want none of them after last weekend.
Well, that's a, what do they say?
Boats are a pain. Boats are a hole in the water to throw money. They have motorhomes, a hole in the road, too.
That's what it is.
A motorcycle is just like, you know, that's all it is money.
That's it.
No matter what, all you got to do is look at a motorcycle and you're spending money on it.
The best two days of that of your life will be the day you bought it and the day you sold it.
That's right.
Yep. Jeep exactly. Is another one. Jeep, just empty every pocket. That's what Jeep stands for.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Boat, break out another 1,000.
Yep. I'm fixing to have to take mine in for the 10,000 mile service, and I mean that's $600. You know?
Holy shit, you got 10,000 miles on that bike already.
When I got it, it had 4,400 on it. Yep.
Still.
And
you put that many miles on that bike?
Yeah, I did. I took it up to see my mom, and I took it to Houston, and I ride it all the damn time.
Well, you can, Don. There are ours.
Exactly.
I think we might have put 150 miles on ours in the last 2 years.
I go to work, like I said, I work 5 days a week, and I ride it to work probably 3 to 4 days a week. There might be a day that I don't ride it just because I don't know if it's going to rain or not because the weather said it might rain, so I don't ride it. But normally I'll ride it every day to work and back, and then I'll, anywhere I can go. If I'm going anywhere and it ain't raining, you know, and I don't have to take anything with me. If it's just me,
right.
I even went to the batting cages. I like going to the batting cages, and I bought a little bat bag that holds just a single bat that I can put over my shoulder, and I can ride my bike and have my bat, strapped in my back, so I can go to the batting cages, ride my motorcycle, go to the batting cages, and just, you know, just don't even, like I said, if I don't have to take anything big.
Find you a bat to ride on the back of it, no bat to ride on the back of it to carry your bat.
Only you would come up with something like that. That's good stuff. The only other thing I'll tell you is I got a friend of mine down here. She had to put her dog down today. She had a tumor. Her dog did. She had to put her dog down. So that was sad today. She had to.
Yeah.
She wasn't eating, and she wasn't like yesterday. Took her for a walk, and coming back, she just kind of just lay down on the sidewalk. Didn't really want to walk anymore. And she's like, I gotta take her to the vet. So I took her to the vet, and they X-rayed her and found a big tumor that was affecting her digestion and everything. So they said you could take her home, but it could rupture or whatever. So they just, you know. Yeah, but it's a sad thing.
Yeah,
she's got everything.
It's the best.
Yep, that is. Yep. So
we got one right now that's he's still getting around. All right, he ain't hurting right now, so we're just hanging on to him, trying to live his life out. But he ain't doing real good. But he's getting around yet. It ain't hurting him a lot. He's got a vertebrae bad. His shoulder is a great place. Shoulder max. But anyhow, he's still getting around. But we figured we was going to have him put down before we went to that truck show. But he topped it out. He went one more, so.
There you go.
He's still getting around, but it ain't going to be long. So, well. All right, Ed, I'm going to get off
right
here
now.
And let you
finish
everything up and get to work. And tomorrow's another day.
Tomorrow's another day, and we got women of Redneck and I tomorrow, and then I'll be at bike night, so I'm gonna probably do some YouTubing from the Harley dealership. They're giving away free burgers and free beer, so that might be pretty fun.
Wow. Well, hey, when you're handing out poker chips, stay out of the bar.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you about the call she got here last week. Wow, man, that guy was way out left field.
Oh, was he?
Some guy called in last week on her show. I have no idea what the hell that guy was talking about. I was listening to it. I said, what in the world is he talking about? I mean, he was just way out. I don't know what the hell he was talking about. I kept telling her, just hang up on him. No, her and Holly wanted to sit there and keep instigating and find out what the hell he was trying to. I don't know what he was talking about. I said, just hang up on him. Are you drunk? I said, it must have found him in a bar somewhere. I don't know. Just hang up on him.
Yeah, I don't give those out to everybody, so.
Yeah. Well, that one slipped through the crack somehow.
Somehow.
All right. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you maybe tomorrow evening.
Yep, right, good
later.
Deal. No, later. Well, there you go. 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Let's see here. There you go. So, yeah, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Let me go check something out real quick because I was sitting here checking and wasn't even paying attention. Oh, there you go, Chris. Yeah, Chris was commenting. I wasn't even looking at him. And he's talking about immigration and everything. So, yep, talking about immigration. So, yeah, we'll talk about more about that tomorrow. So let's chime in on that. Like I said, give us a holler, 515-602-9731. We'll be back tomorrow. The women over at Neck and Eyes will be here tomorrow evening. And then I'll be at the bike night on Thursday. And then we'll be back Friday for another episode. So check that out. Go check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. And at redneckandeyes.com, you'll find links to all of our social media accounts. And you'll also see all the great links to our sponsors. Sponsors like Load to Ride Transportation, LTRtransportation.com. And there they are right there. Right, there they are. There they are. You can give them a call, 720-277-0030. They're a good little outfit out of Denver, Colorado. They're plenty of busy. Every time I talk to somebody, they're busy. They got great-looking trucks and a great-looking logo there. It's pretty cool. So go check them out. Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTRtransportation.com. And then also Trucker Tools. Go check them out. The Trucker Tools app from your app store. And then also DPF Regeneration. You give them a call at 800-634-3010. That's DPFRegeneration.com. They got all your particulate filter needs. Appreciate everybody's support on that. Like I said, we'll see you guys later. Be safe. Stay successful. Keep between the ditches. And we'll see you next time.
Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.